welcome to Yip Podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yip. And today on the show, we've got Kat.
Hello.
And she's come on the show to talk to us a little bit about her troupe and her dance classes. And also, she is a very active member of the SCA. And we're excited to talk to her about how belly dance is sort of integrated into that world, because neither me and Tammy are very familiar with it. So we're excited. I like dressing up. I don't like camping that much.
Oh, I don't camp. I call it hang out in style.
Hang out in style.
Yes.
So getting us started, what's going on, Tammy?
Nothing.
Oh my gosh. So on to the music. No.
So what's going on with you?
All right. So let's start with what has to be covered. And that is specifically an email that we got on the Yip email from Mari of Alchemy in Georgia. G-A. Gaw.
Holy moly.
Sorry, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And, you know, general pleasantries and tra-la. And she was like, how's the no poo thing going? I haven't heard about that for a while. And I think Mari said that she'd been doing it for a while and that it had been going really well for her. Well, so here's the update on my no poo experiment. As you know, Tammy's still going strong. What, like a year plus, right, Tammy?
Yes.
And she's always like, my hair is so soft and so shiny and so manageable, and I feel like a new woman. So I started my no shampoo experiment at the beginning of the summer. If you listen to the podcast regularly, you know I'm a teacher, so I had about 2.5 months off. And I spent about 5 weeks of it in the whiniest misery ever. I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I couldn't deal with it. So at about the 5 week mark, and when I read up on it a little bit later, I realized that that's like 5-6 weeks is like crunch time, where like if you make it past that, it's supposed to clear up. But I couldn't take it anymore. It's so gross. I washed my hair in real shampoo and I was like, and the heavens opened and the sun shone. It was beautiful. Although I will say, because of the sort of detoxing process for that month plus that I was doing no shampoo, I don't have to wash my hair as often, and it is softer than it used to be.
And I think the key really is to just not kill your hair. Don't kill your hair. And so, like,
make a t-shirt.
Exactly. But, you know, shampooing your hair kills your scalp, and it makes it so you have so much extra oil that your body just does not need to be producing. So I think the fact that you're even doing shampooing less is better for you.
I usually do every other day or every 3 days, and sometimes I'll just like rinse it in between, and sometimes I'll do like just some conditioner in between.
Yeah.
And I use the what is that? It's like something naturals. What is the naturals? Whatever. Something with naturals in it that's not supposed to have any lactoglycerin or some bad chemical. Some bad chemical. I was reading up on the no shampoo thing, and people were like, oh my gosh, just make sure it doesn't have blah, 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 blah.
SLS, whatever. Sodium.
That one. I didn't actually check, but somebody said that this was a good shampoo for that. So I'm not going to read all those words back there.
They're on the back of the bottle for a reason. I don't need to turn it around.
Exactly.
But I think, like I said, I think it's great that you're even shampooing less.
I think it's a good thing.
And, you know, you don't know until you try.
So, yes, my hair is happier. I don't think I can go. The other thing was, like, I'm so lazy that it took so much effort to like mix up the baking soda and like the vinegar. I was like, I have to dilute this with water. Oh, I'm so tired. So that was like so much energy. I couldn't do it. So, well, shampoo, it's right there in the bottle. Happy bottle waiting for you. It was a couple things, mainly laziness and impatience.
Icky. And ickiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ick factor.
The ick factor, yeah.
A lot of people don't make it. And it's, again, I don't think it was a waste of your time. I think you learned a little about yourself and about your hair. I really tried to keep a straight face. Didn't happen.
You almost made it.
I was so close. So like I could feel the end, and it just didn't happen.
Awesome. So that, Mari, is the scoop about my no-poo experiment. Tammy is still going along the straight and narrow, and you can too. We believe in you, Mari. There's a couple things I wanted to touch on really quickly on Tribe. Oh, there was a post that I think was on the Tribal Belly Dance Tribe, just like this little rant. If it was on a different tribe, whatever. But there was just rant about people who don't know the names of the songs they're dancing to, which also bugs me.
Yes. Oh, you're thinking of the one, I thought, on the Too Much Drama tribe.
Yes, you're right. Okay, you're right. Yay, Tammy Terry the Rescue! Woohoo! It was on the Too Much Drama to Dance tribe.
Means
you're
I'm
right.
on freaking tribe too much.
You're gold! There we go. Too Much Drama to Dance tribe. And there was a thread about people who don't know what music they're dancing to, which is frustrating. It frustrates me a lot when you're taking a workshop from somebody and they use this cool song during the warm-up or something. It was like the exact thing that this girl had mentioned. And I was like, yeah, you're like, what's that song? And they're like, oh, I don't know. I just got it on a mixtape from a friend. So you're pirating music and you don't even know who you're pirating. Yay. So yeah, that's frustrating. But especially if you're going to do a solo, if you don't even know the name of the song and you're like, oh, I just call it the cymbal song.
I was reading that, and I just have never, I haven't encountered that yet. I haven't encountered.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't encountered someone who didn't know the song that they were performing to. Like, it just blows my mind you wouldn't know the song that you're performing to.
You know that song Shashkin? There's been like 40 million remixes of it. I mainly learned how to play Zills from watching this Hobby Roo video that my friend Nancy gave to me. Excellent video, this Hobby Roo cymbal dance. And I just called it the cymbal dance song for like a year and a half. I had no idea it had another name. I just thought it had sprung forth fully formed from John Compton's forehead, you know? So I just called it the cymbal
right
dance.
Where the trace is.
Zeus. So... but it turns out, no, that's not where it came from. It's, you know, actually this song called Shashkin, which, you know, has been remixed like a bazillion times. But granted, I didn't like tell everybody, yeah, this is a cymbal dance. I don't know what the song is. But I did perform to it when I thought it was called the cymbal dance. Luckily, no one asked me what it was called.
But see, I think that's different. I think if you, like, thought it was called, like, you really thought this is what it was called, no, or like you were misinformed because...
I really actually didn't put much thought into it at all. I just called it the cymbal dance because I was learning how to play finger cymbals to it. This was like my year two as a dancer, so I had very little world ethics awareness going on. I was just happy that I was wearing sparkly things. I forget who the instructor was, but I asked her afterwards, wow, I loved, you know, that song you were using. And she literally was like almost the exact same paragraph that girl wrote on Tribe. I was like, yeah, somebody gave it to me on a mixtape. I have no idea what it's called. And when it's an instrumental song, there's like no way you can search for that. I mean, if there's a couple lyrics, you know, you have a chance of Googling it. But if there's no lyrics, it's just like, there's like a ding-a-ding-a-ding. And then I think there's like a flute thing where it goes, and you're just
like. And if you're like me and you're tone deaf, then that didn't even help. People will be like, really, like, no. What is that? Why would you want to dance to that?
So that's a little frustrating. But you know, I think also I wouldn't be surprised if some people are like, I know exactly what song that is, but I'm gonna pretend I don't because I want to perform that later and no one else needs to know what it is. Do you think people do that? I think people do that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I know I do it.
Shame.
Well, I usually don't. I don't tease people with the song and then not tell them what it is. I just
look at them.
I'll be like, oh, I've got some cool music. But the music that I really, really like that I'm saving for a solo, I won't tell anybody about.
I guess I get way too excited about music. I mean, I've done that, like, the one song I found a couple of weeks ago and I told you about.
But we have different...
Yeah,
we have different tastes in music.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure you're not stealing my
song. The chances of me stealing your song, chances are thin. Anyway. So that is it for me.
Great. So music today.
Yeah, I know. So today, Kat is furnishing music suggestions. So take it away, Kat.
Okay. Today I have Terabis, which is one of my favorite groups. They're quite unique because they actually have pipers, and they also have drummers, and they're really upbeat, and they write all their own music. There's no words. It's always just, it's the music, and it's very upbeat.
Can you dance to it?
Yes, you can dance to it. I have choreographed the number to one of their songs. I absolutely love them. One of the cool things that some of the dancers may know, Nevik. He's one of the main drummers.
Actually, he teaches out at TribalCon.
He teaches at TribalCon. He also teaches at a lot of the SCA events. So it's actually a band that is very tangible. You can go up and meet them and talk to them, and they're very cool. And what's really neat about Nevik is he just had a new little baby, and so it's really neat to see him with his little baby. It's cute.
Does he play drums while he's holding his baby?
No.
No.
He probably could, though, if he gets, like, a little carrier and
I bet
sling
that kid can sleep through anything.
She can. But what's really neat about Nevik, or about the band, is that they write music, especially medieval period kind of pieces, but it's totally danceable for any belly dance tribe group. Even if you want to do a single solo, it's very
so
good.
So what three tracks are your favorites?
Of course, my favorite is the Brewery Tap. That was the number that I choreographed for a couple of ladies. And then we also like Rockybus is really good. And the Derailing is really good.
So right now we are going to listen to the Brewery Trap. The Brewery Trap. When you get trapped in a bar and you can't get out.
That's I'm when like, I'm gonna like that song.
So yeah, definitely SCA. We're going to listen to those three.
Thanks for bringing the CD by.
I remember the one routine I think you're talking about was to the Brewery Tap, which I didn't know that was called. But that's a very cool routine that you did. I really liked it.
Yes, I knew the name of the song. I even knew the person who wrote it. I'm just saying, it's some of your criteria. And what's really neat is that whenever I see them perform it live, it's really hard for me not to jump up and go dance with him. And of course, Nevik sees me in the corner. He's like, Come on. I'm like, no. So it's really cool.
So, Kat.
Yes.
Can you do us a favor and let us know your website address?
Oh, don't.
My personal website is actually
www.gotback.
Okay. It's www.catbruce.com. Tribal Muses is the group that I'm a director of, but also I'm with many other groups too, and so the catbruce.com lets you know other things that I'm doing personally. Because I also work with a Melanie LaJoy with
yeah, we've had Melanie on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I dance with her, I drum with her, and I also dance with Go Pure. So it's not just Tribal Muses, so that's why I gave you the first one.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk more about all of that in just a moment. First, I'd like to know how long you've been belly dancing.
How long I've been belly dancing? Is,
yes.
Well, let's see. I started in 2004, 5 years. Well, oh, it's a little over 5 years, yes. And I actually started with Angela, which she used to teach with cabaret. Oh, no.
Hey, both of us started in cabaret. Our listeners know that. Yes. We do not shun the cabaret.
No. She had a really unique way of teaching cabaret. It was really more about the body speaking, and it's really organic, and it was...
Were you like, I am a tree, jingle, 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 jingle?
Oh, no. She would... one of my first classes was, I came in, and so that you found your lower hip muscles, we literally were laying on the floor and having to pick up certain parts of our body with other parts of our body, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because I'm a ballet instructor, you know, I'm used to this walking to class, you never get on the floor, what? And belly dancing, we're not supposed to be on the floor, and here you are. roll. She really was trying to get you to roll your hips around so you're able to loosen up all your abs and lower body. So it was interesting. I absolutely loved dancing with her, though. I'm glad I started with her because she was really unique perspective to belly dancing. So
how long did you do ballet for?
I actually started ballet when I was 2.5 years old.
Oh,
yes. And you stopped when you were 3.
No.
It was a long career.
No.
Because that would have been funny.
No. I started ballet when I was 2.5 years old. My grandmother actually owned the very first ballet company here in Ocoee, which is a little right outside of Orlando. And the same year that Walt Disney opened up Magic Kingdom, she opened up her studio, which was Ruth Wood School of the Dance. And by age 12, I was actually teaching, and I took over the class, took over a lot of classes, and I took over the school by 16. And by 19, I had to close it down because she had gotten really old, and it was just a lot for a teenager to take on the responsibility of literally running a dance school at age 19 and still going to high school.
And so you just couldn't do all that? Jeez, disappointing. And so how long have you been instructing then in belly dancing?
In belly dancing? Whenever Angela was here, I was with her for at least a year, and then
Is she from Brazil?
No. She's from...
Lithuania.
No.
Goodness. You're what?
Australia. She's from
Australia.
Wow. Yeah, she's from Australia. And so she had to go back for a little while, and so I took over her classes, and I was actually teaching for her while she was away. And then I happened to, like every other belly dancer, we saw the belly dance superstars, and I saw the tribal dancers, and absolutely fell in love with the uniqueness of the tribal dance. And I was like, I want to do that. And so I started looking around Orlando and found another instructor. And
very cool. And then you've now been in your studio in Winter Garden for how long now?
I've been instructing, actually this September has been over a year.
Oh.
Yeah, my little tribal muses.
Wow, a year. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a year.
I didn't think it would been that long.
Yes.
Time flies.
When we're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and you are. You're having a blast over there. I've taken some of your classes. It's a lot of fun. On that subject, let's talk a little bit about tribal muses. How I know tribal muses has actually been around for a long time, and Sherry McDonald was running it. So how did you get involved with it?
Well, Sherry actually started Tribal Muses in 2005, so 2005. And it began with Amy Anthony. Amy Anthony was the troop leader because she understood more the tribal style than Sherry did. And so Amy decided that she wanted to go off and start her own school. She really wanted to practice the Suhela method and really get involved in that. And so Sherry decided to do the same thing that we did. She flew out all the way to see Carolina, and she went through the general skills and got certified, and she came back and she started teaching and growing her studio a little bit more. Tribal Muses has really been Fat Chance, really in depth. I mean, we have a little bit of Gypsy Caravan, but we really are sticking to the Fat Chance style.
And then, so that was in 2005 that started. So how did you get involved?
I got involved because basically Sherry had some family. Her family was going to relocate, and she did not want to leave her girls without an instructor. And so she looked around, and she's known me for a little while, and she knew I was certified, and at least I knew enough about how to instruct, and I knew enough about the tribal style, and she knew I'd keep the pureness of the group that she really wanted. And so she invited me to come in and see if I would like to take over and make sure the girls were comfortable with me taking over. And everybody was great with it. And what's really unique about Tribal Muses is now we have drummers that come in. So The only part of canned music is the very beginning, our warm-up, and that's just so that the drummers can warm up too. And we welcome new drummers and new dancers all the time. You can't, if you've never held a drum, you can walk in and we'll have extra drums there. And my drummers love teaching. You know, they were like, sure, sit down, you know, yay, new person, new guinea pig. And we love for husbands and wives to come in. We're okay with mommies and daughters to come in. You know, It's not, we're not really strict.
Well, what I noticed, because I made it to one class, and it was one of the ones that Tammy was at as well. And I'm speaking of welcoming everybody. Well, of course, Tammy had Josie with her.
I liked bringing her because I work all day, and so any chance I can spend with her is important to me, so.
So Josie gets a little clingy. When, you know, and so Tammy's holding onto Josie's hand with one hand, and the other arm is doing whatever her arm should be doing. But it got, my favorite part is when somebody was doing Egyptian basics and cued the half turn. And so Josie's standing in place, and Tammy's like going, you know, step, touch, turn, and she'll, like, her arms would switch, and her left hand would grab Josie's hand. And then 4 beats later, she'd spin again, and her right hand would drop. And it was like this ole. For like 16 counts. I was like, don't change the move. This is really funny.
I think that's what was happening. I think people were like purposely just watching me do this half turn.
And Josie's just standing there with one arm up, ready to catch the next hand, just like smiling.
My favorite part is anytime anyone would initiate a fade, because Josie had to be like right next to me. And so she would like turn around for a second. I would have faded somewhere else. And she was like all confused. So then she would like have to go find me again. And then she'd turn around and I'd fade back.
And we're just like trying not to step on her.
Yeah.
How the troop works is really is a no pressure atmosphere. I do have a 12-week class schedule set up, and then once you go through the 12 weeks, then you get invited to stay for the second class. And we, at that point, if you're a good fit, if you are able to perform and you're not scared to death of each other or being out on the stage, then of course we...
Tammy scares me.
Exactly.
Scares me too. Don't make me kick you.
Oh God. God help me.
I actually keep her here. After hours,
late at
beat
night.
Her.
Where the bruises don't show. Hey, I just heard there's a taser out there that doesn't leave burn marks now.
Ooh, awesome.
Nice.
So awesome. Yeah, go out and buy one. They probably have one on eBay.
That's funny. Sorry. Use it for dancing. Arms up.
I said you're in my space.
Where are your elbows?
Where's the formation supposed to be? Go, go, go.
Yes, Miss Cat. Evening, Miss Cat.
I know.
So anyway, basically I do have a 12-week class schedule, and you go through it, and by week 3, you're already working with Zills, which I think is one of the really cool things. I really want my students to get used to having the weight in their hands, and a lot of the movements I found after the Fat Chance, the certification, or basic skills, was the Zills moved around, or the movements moved around the Zills, which I thought was really unique, and now I understood even more, and it's a lot easier to play the Zills because of the movement is made for the Zills. Oh, concept. So it was really, really nice to be a part of the general skills, so I have something to even more make sure my students are learning properly. If you're in Vegas or Orlando, you're getting the same class, because what happens is Sherry has gone out to Vegas, and she's also started Tribal Muses in Vegas. We correspond back and forth, and it's a truly unique synergy that we have.
Very cool.
I like.
I know, right?
I like.
You like it.
It's sign language for like.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's a concept.
This is sign language for I love you.
And this is I don't like.
Sherry. I don't love you either. I was just showing you. I didn't really mean you. I just thought I'd...
Sorry, Kik. So tell us a little bit about the SCA.
That's a big topic.
In 30 seconds or less. Go.
Yeah, I tend to ask those kind of questions. Tell us about this. That's going to take 5 hours to explain, but make it 30 seconds.
So, well, on that topic, to skinny it down a little bit, I would like to know, were you already a member of the SCA and really into it, and then you started belly dancing and went, hey, I can do this as part of my SCA? Or were you dancing and then thought, oh, this would be a way to do more belly dancing? Or how did that work? Sorry, that was my water bottle. There's nothing wrong in the studio.
The studio is not falling apart.
No one has set our studio on fire.
Oh my goodness.
Well, first of all, the SCA is an international organization, basically dedicated to research and reenacting the arts and skills from the pre-17th century in Europe. We have something called the Known World, and that's basically the whole world. Known World has kingdoms. In other words, our kingdom is Trimeris, which is the state of Florida. We are very lucky that we are one state. Most of other kingdoms may be 4, 5, 6 states long. Like, the entire Midwest is like one whole kingdom. Our known world is consisted of over 19 kingdoms. There's over 30,000 members right now.
Now, SCA is worldwide, right?
Yes, it's worldwide. We actually have people all across Europe. We have people in Mexico. We have people in just anywhere there's been an army base.
Ding, 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 ding.
There's anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20,000 people that just show up to Penzic. And you'll never know. We go to a party and you'll have people from Montana, from New Zealand, from Europe, from, you know, just all these different places. And it's just a big mecca of people that all have common interests. And for 2 weeks, we literally become our own city, so much so that when we reach a certain point, we have to basically hire, or we elect a mayor. And the reason why, because of state law, there has to be a mayor, because if something were to happen and we have to evacuate, there has to be one person in charge.
So oh my gosh,
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. We have a small hospital on site. We have the largest university that is there, that's at Penzic. What I mean by university is you can learn any arts and science, any medieval warfare, anything you want to know about the time periods, you can learn, and all the classes are for free. And I'm taking classes from Zia, I'm taking classes from Zafira, I'm taking classes from Blue Lotus, I'm taking classes, you know, drum classes with Nevik and with Carmine, you know, all these big name people that in our little world is our little superstars. Are, oh my gosh, these are everyday, you know, people that you have in contact with. Oh, Rocky and the Caveman. They were there this year, and they were doing classes. As belly dancers, we don't get to see. They're always up on the stage. Mm-hmm. Well, it's different to be able to walk up and go, oh, you want a glass of wine? Sure. And you're sharing a drink with them, or you're sharing stories, and you get to really see these people as normal, everyday people, and get to meet their girlfriends, their wives, their husbands, their boyfriends, you know, get to see their dramas or non-dramas. But it's just interesting just to see them as real people.
So how long have you been doing the SCA? And this dance, can you explain, what does anachronism mean? It's the Society for Creative Anachronism, right? I know what society means. Mm-hmm. I know all about creativity, but anachronism, I don't know what that means.
Anachronism is something that is not of this time. In other words, to see somebody dressed in full Elizabethan and wearing a watch, you would not see the two things together. So we basically are recreating the 17th or pre-17th century and putting in 20th century. So we try our best to make sure that we have the period clothes, the period garb. Some people are very much period, we call them period Nazis, where the shoes have to be handmade, the clothes have to be hand-stitched, the tent has to be a period canvas tent, that, you know, all their garb is perfect, and it's to their persona. It depends on how much you want to play. You don't have to. We just ask that you make an attempt. In other words, you can wear a tunic. You can, you know, wear, you know, kind of, not period, but pajama pants. And please don't wear tennis shoes. Wear boots. You know, if you're a guy, if you're a girl, you know, make an A-line dress. You know, make an attempt to a medieval garb.
Now, I heard that Penzic as an event is much more relaxed than a lot of other SCA events, and that there's like barbarians wandering the streets and stuff.
Correct. Penzic is an SCA event, but it's also not a sanctioned SCA event. In other words, we have all 19 kingdoms have representatives there. In other words, the king and queen is there. We also have, you know, barons and baronesses. We have people that have attempted their time periods are all there. But we also have other groups that are there. In other words, that the campsite is open to we have a whole group that believe they are vampires. So we'll have the whole vampire Lost Boys that are there.
Love that movie.
It just doesn't seem like a place they'd want to hang out, though. But I guess because of the costume.
Because of the costume.
Hey, there's belly dancers there, so.
It's a big party. I mean, it really is. There's literally two different atmospheres to it. There's, when you go up on the Serengeti, you'll have very period. Everything is very, you know, straight-laced and period parties and period food and da-da-da. Then you go down the road, down into the bog, which is where I live, and that's where you have, you know, the werewolves and the fairies and the, you know, other people, because it really is about accepting everybody. Everybody can play, literally. You know, you'll have, you know... Yeah. Everybody knows, if you've ever been to Pensac, everybody knows Vlad's place. You know, it's the place that you hang out, and Vlad and his wife are very lovely people, and that's where you meet most of the belly dancers that are our little superstars that are going to be at Vlad's. That's where all the key belly dance and drummers and entertainers are the very first week. You get a variety of everything. And yes, you, fighting wise, in other words, the boys, the men, and some women, actually do dress up in full suits of armor. But we do literally have wars where you'll have, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 people on one side and same on the other. And the cannon goes off. And it's just like, if you've ever seen
Braveheart.
You ever seen the scene in Braveheart? And all of a sudden, there's this big cannon and people go,
you know what I've seen are those middle. YouTube videos entitled Helmet Cam.
Yes.
We'll post this on our
tribe. It's the best.
It's hysterical. Some yokel with...
The best part is when the boys will see, they're like, oh, wait, yeah, hey, they'll get all excited about, oh, the Hamlet cam was there, and they'll wait to see if they go across the cam.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really funny is when they actually know someone else that got killed by the guy who has the Hamlet cam.
I like when the Hamlet cam guy gets killed. You're like, right. He's down.
He's down.
Oh, fade to black.
Right.
So you were part of the SCA before you became a belly dancer. So
I did.
How did your persona change when you became a belly dancer? Did the SCA sort of push you in that direction?
Yes, it did. I can remember going to Pensac and seeing Ula from Zafira. And I can remember, like, when she would go out and her isolations around the campfire, you're like, wow, oh my goodness, how does she make her belly go up and down and side to side? And I don't get it. And it was really, really watching her and just being in absolute awe. And then I watched her for 2 or 3 years, and her sister was out there dancing, and of course also Olivia was out there dancing, absolutely amazing, the energy and how they just captured, you'd have 300 people in this camp, and these two or three women would go out in the campfire, start dancing, and like everybody go whoosh and just watch. It was just amazing. And I can remember being one of those captive audiences, and the following years Ula was pregnant, and then to see her pregnant with her little one and still out there dancing, that was just an aha goddess moment for me too, going, wait a minute, this is really an art form that no matter what the woman's body shape is or what she looks like, she still can hold this power of presence and still can hold this beautiful art form, because you've never seen a ballerina with a belly. You've never seen that. You've never seen a jazz person with the belly. But this, my very first pregnant dancer ever was Ula dancing. I was just like, I have to learn. So you asked earlier how long I've been doing SCA, and it's mm-hmm. actually been over 14 years.
And so how did you actually get started in the SCA?
I actually got started because one of my dear friends, Valgard, mm-hmm. he also goes by Jonathan. Well, Valgard is his name, but Jonathan said, well, when I worked at Disney Entertainment for many, many moons ago, he was running around putting up flyers going, you know, I do this really cool thing I do on the weekends. Come camp with me. And I did the same thing you said earlier. I don't camp. I'm sorry. I'm a girl. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to one of my friends into going with me because, again, a single female going out camping in the middle of the woods. No, not too smart. But, you know, two girls a little better. We can, you know, defend ourselves.
Totally. You have someone to trip and leave behind if you get exactly. chased by a crazy person. I'll come back for you, Cindy.
When I talked to one of my friends into going with me, and, you know, I bought the tent, she bought the sleeping bags, and it was local. It was that little camp we was. So, you know, anything weird happened, it was only 15 minutes away. So, you know.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. We were good.
But they were going to say, like, in your backyard, you know, so if you need to, bathroom's right there.
Right. No, it was, you know, local, and, you know, I knew where all the big stores were, and so it was good. I had a really, really good time. It's truly an honorable game. It's a great place if you have children to bring your kids, because it's a great atmosphere for children. There's children's activities. There's art sci activities. There's multiple different things that you can get involved with. You know, just during the day, we have you can learn how to do calligraphy. You can learn how to make paper. You can learn how to, you know, you have a newbie class. You know, what is all this weirdness about? You know, and there's multiple different ways to become active in the game. You know, there's the just the weekend partier, just hanging out with your friends and making an attempt to what you're gonna wear, and then you have other ones that have been in it for 14 years and have an entire wardrobe that is their whole closet. You know, that's the whole room set aside just for the SCA. Who, you know, I have a light board set up where I have made period scrolls. I've done the illuminations. I've done the gambit of all kinds of art sides before I finally settled in on doing the belly dancing as my art.
Well, and it seems like that environment, you're able to try different things
yes.
that you wouldn't be able to try. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should join, Mary.
Well, and it depends if you find an active group in your area, because if you find an active group, they may have something going on. Some groups have something going on almost every single night. You know, on Wednesday night locally is our fighter practices, so you'll go and you'll find at the local park, you'll find the heavy weapons fighters out there, and you'll also find the light weapons, which is our fencing. They're out there too. It's truly a unique game. You know, 95% of all the boys or all the men around, you know, they don't have anger issues. They don't have, you know, any kind of frustrations because they already took it out on Wednesday night. They're fine, you know.
Chilled out the rest of the week.
They're chilled out, you know, or they're excited because by Wednesday, you know, any of that frustration that they've had for work or whatever, they get to go and work it out. And what's really interesting too for a lot of the heavy weapons fighters is they actually can handle a lot more stressful situations. In other words, going into a bar and there's a big bar fight, I'd rather have an SCA fighter with me than any other bar fight guy, whatever, because honestly, because
bar fight guy, whatever.
Well, you know, any other
hoodlum. No, I don't know.
Okay, let's cut me bars. Go again. you know, they're just a lot more calmer in a situation because realize they dress in armor and they're during war have 10,000 people around them. Cannon goes off and it's a pump rush of adrenaline. They come charging through and they clash. Literally, you know, the Titans, and they walk out of that, survive, and they're fine. So their adrenaline ups and downs doesn't happen as much as the common person does. Does that make sense? Because they get the release of that during the week and during the fighter practice.
Well, and I think their body acclimates to it, so they can handle
exactly.
situations better.
Exactly. I mean,
well, fighting situations better.
Well, I have one of the perfect stories about that. My husband worked. I met him out at Disney, and he used to be a tech out there. And during the grad nights that they have out there, which is the high school big mm-hmm. parties. Of course, you have all the little mm-hmm. hormones going and the poopiness going. And one of the high schools was at another stand. And, you know, another stage. And of course.
That's why I'm not in high school anymore.
Exactly.
Please.
I just rolled my eyes in case you didn't hear it.
I just couldn't take the drama. I was like, I'm out of here.
Seriously.
So, what happened is, you know, it was high school against high school. The little fight broke out. And of course.
Oh my gosh, were there sharks and jets there? Because that would have been awesome.
Right. But yeah, in songs. Ta-da, when you're a jet. No, sorry. So. it breaks out, right? And so one of the biggest techs, technicians out there, jumps the rope and he goes running out to break, you know, to break up this bite. And of course, my husband's not a little guy, but he's one of the littler guys. Yeah. And he, apparently, you know, Travis turns around and looks and says, oh, that's okay. I got Killian behind me. I'll be fine. He fights in the SCA. You know, and Killian's like, dude, I was just going to go out and see what's going on. You know?
Now, have you had Tribal Muses dance in any SCA events? And, like where does Tribal Muses perform right now?
Oh, yes, I have had them. Yes, I have. We've had the honor a couple of times of dancing at Feast. What Feast is when at every event, the king and queen has the big high table where the prince and princess and the baron and baronesses all sit. And anybody who happens to win any of the contests that day, I'll get invited to sit high feast. And then, of course, the whole populace is out there. And then they do the whole, you know, from the, there's announcements and there's entertainment, just like he would normally picture a feast. In any of the movies that we recreate, the same thing. We've been asked a couple of times to perform. And
so where else do the Tribal Muses perform around the Central Florida area?
We have performed at the little Avalon store. Mm-hmm. We were invited to go out there and have help with their little holiday festival that they have.
I really enjoyed listening to you talking about SCA. I've not done any SCA events. Mm-hmm. For a while, I was a little scared because, well, the first, because I got into an SCA before I was a belly dancer, because I had a couple friends who sort of dabbled, and I was like, you know, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to dress up. I loved going. There's a Hogtown Medieval Fair in mm-hmm. Gainesville, Florida every year. And I used to go to that all the time with my parents. But the first website when I searched for SCA or something, whatever website I went to first that I found was like some kind of psycho, like SCA Nazi, like, you know,
yes.
website. And yeah. I was like, I will not be wearing that totally ugly tunic with that totally ugly pair of pants. And whenever some lady wearing a lace dress tells me to fetch her a cup of wine, I have to go do it. Screw that. I will not be joining the SCA. Thank you.
Well, and that's sad. It's sad that that was your first experience. And mm-hmm. understand, though, in any social group, you're going to have different, you know, perspectives that happen. Know that Trimeris is very, very loving, very forgiving.
So my last question is, Kat, can you give me your best yip?
Yep.
That was so well done. Yeah. You nice. Practice, don't you?
Well, yeah, when my class, when the drummers start talking and then all of a sudden the girls all start talking, oh, and boy starts all talking, I have to get their attention somehow. So, yeah.
I just sing the national anthem. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on your podcast, Kat.
She has one more job for us.
She does. Oh, that's right. What's our second music group?
Oh, my God. I have the Turkish band All Stars. And basically the reason why I chose this one is because Carmine is in here. And it's really, this is one of the ones that when you go to the local parties, or when you go to, especially at Penzic, you can actually hear this band playing. And it's, again, they're tangible, they're right there. And so this is nice period style music. There's lots of different songs that you can pick to dance to. It's very upbeat, and I love it.
So what three tracks are we going to hear?
We're going to listen to track 3, which is Fire Dance.
I have not heard the CD before, but I really like the name on track 8, which is Sulukule, because that sounds fun to me.
Sure. And the last one, which is track 9, which is the belly dance drum solo.
Okay, here we go.
I like Zulukule best.
You would. You totally would, Mary.
The drum solo is nice.
Yeah, I like the drum solo. Mm-hmm.
Oh. So, Tammy, what's going on around town right now? Ta-da!
Like a million things. Oh, that's what's going on. Gee,
a million? Talk fast.
Holy bleep. Okay.
Well, Mary, this weekend, January 15th through the 17th in Atlanta, Georgia, is an Ansuya workshop. And actually, it's a certification for her cabaret tribal fusion belly dance. And it's called Cabaret. I can't pronounce it. I think we talked about this on a prior show. Instead of calling it Tribaret, what did you call it?
Cabaribble.
That's kind of what it is. Cabaribillusion certification workshop.
Cabaribillusion?
Yeah, because she has tribal fusion at
the
end of it.
That seems excessive.
Well, if you want to get certified in that, go to www.atlantafusionbellydance.com. Next weekend in St. Pete, Florida, is the Winter Sun Carnival. www.hip-expression.com. Why can I never get this?
I don't know.
hip-expression.com. I'm just going to like do it once, and then you just need to edit it over and over again. And so that's January 24th through the 25th. Olivia from Zafir is going to be there. Ansa and August from Mesmer Society are going to be teaching Darbuka Dave. Darbuka Dave, I just love your name. Darbuka Dave. Sorry. So I'm easily amused. So that's going on. And you're going to be going, correct?
Yes, I will be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, we might even be performing. I'm not sure yet. Nothing's set in stone. But if we do perform, then I'll be performing. And if not, then I won't.
Well, there you go. Isn't that the way it always is?
Pretty much.
I will not be there. My husband has some goings on that I will be supporting him in his activities.
You don't hear that a lot. My husband has some goings on that I'll be supporting. Oh, really? This is an odd relationship.
Wow. You didn't have to make it into that.
Can't help it. That's where things go.
And then January 23rd through the 24th in Paris is Belly Fusions 2010 Paris, France. Oh, www.
I said Pergy. I thought it was some kind of new bird.
Wah, wah. I guess my little thing didn't go over so well. So that's www.bellyfusions.com. Anasma, www.anasmadance.com. She's going to be teaching. Manhattan Tribal is going to be there. Lily Sai. And a bunch more people, some of which I'm sure are local to Europe that I don't know. So, but I will be looking them up because they have all their websites listed. So, yay. So that's what's going on in the month of January. Go to our website, which is www.yippodcast.com, and join our mailing list. And you can hear about these events and other events that we didn't get to cover in our around town segment. Go ahead and email us events, please. People have started to do that, and that's really exciting for me. Email at yippodcast.com, or you can go to our tribes.tribe.net/yippodcast and tell us about your events there. And you can also call in at 321-441-3933. So I just want to say thank you again, Kat, for joining us today.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Yay.
We always like to hear that. Yeah. Probably not accompanied by a really fake smile. I really enjoyed myself. Podcast is so quaint. I'm sure you mean well. Anyway, so
you've had a lot of information, listeners, today. Sorry for some of our loopiness, but that's just who we are, I guess. So for this episode, this has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Yep.
Is an Ansuya okay, I'm just going to start
workshop
that over.
Workshop is pronounced workshop.
I will beat you.
The ones that we can pronounce, that's what we're going to hear.
Edit.
I can't pronounce any of those but the last one.
I can pronounce number 3.
See it.
Fire dance.
I didn't see that.
Ooh. I didn't understand what they were saying, but it sounded indecent.